The Association of Classical and Christian Schools presents Repairing the Runes, the 2018 ACCS Annual Conference, copyright 2018. You may make additional copies of this recording for use by your school, but please do not sell any copies of the recording. Learn more about classical Christian education and ACCS at classicalchristian.org.
All right, well, I'll try to talk last. All right, so I just want to tell you a little bit about myself and where I teach, and then I'm going to get into kind of practical stuff, hopefully, that you can do in your classroom. My name is Karina Covington, and I teach at Covenant Christian Academy, which is in Colleyville. We were just talking about there are multiple Covenant schools, Covenant Christian, Covenant. I mean, even within the Fort Worth area, there's a Covenant Dallas, Colleyville, and Covenant in Fort Worth, and so, but that is where I am at. At the top of your program has my email address, so if you have any questions later on, you can always email me there. But I went to Abilene Christian University, and I got my degree in art, and I always loved art. From when I was really little, I always loved to draw. My parents were missionaries when I was growing up in Africa, and my mom homeschooled us, and she said I would always want to draw. It was like, how fast can I get through my math lesson so that I can draw something or paint something? My dad was a preacher, and we would go out, and he was preaching in multiple different languages that I didn't completely understand, so I would sit there and draw in the sand and dirt while he was talking. And so art has always been a big part of my life. We moved back to the United States when I was in the eighth grade, which is a difficult time to move back. Everybody thought I was the weird person from Africa, and they were friendly for a little while, but I don't know, it was a difficult adjustment, and so when I started high school, my art teacher was somebody that just really opened up something for me, and just going into her classroom, it was a safe place, it was a place to explore, it was a place to be encouraged, it was a place to just love all different kinds of art, and so I always knew I liked art. I went to college, and I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to major in art. What are you going to do with it? I don't know. I love art, and that's what I'm going to do. And so when I graduated with my art degree, okay, now what do I do? No, there's not tons of jobs just open for, you know, I'm an artist. And so somebody that I knew was like, well, the Christian school here in Abilene is looking for an art teacher. And so I went over there. It was a part-time job. I started teaching. I was totally overwhelmed because I didn't know anything about teaching. And so I went back to ACU and was like, I need to get my education degree. And so I went back and got certified while I was teaching. And then I graduated, and my husband went to grad school at UNT, and so we moved to this area, and I looked everywhere. I found Covenant Christian Academy, and it was really small at the time. It was just under 300 students. They needed an art teacher. I started. They were like, okay, you're going to teach art. And I'm like, okay, where's the curriculum? And they're like, art, and you just teach it. And so I had no written curriculum, no guidelines. We had one other teacher that was teaching the little kids, and she was trying to help me. You know, this is what I do with first graders. I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's different from what you need to do with high schoolers. And so a lot of what I learned was just from trial and error, figuring it out, going to other conferences, talking to other teachers, studying, and kind of figuring it out. But it is a place that I love, and teaching kids to create art is just, so many times I see students that, you know, they're overwhelmed in all their other areas of the school, and so some of these kids maybe are even the kids that all the other teachers think, oh, goodness, they're the difficult one, but then they come into the art room and they make beautiful, amazing pieces. And so I love teaching art. I love that God is this creative person, and he created us in his image, and he wants us to be creative. And so there's so many different ways that you can do that with art and music and literature, and even in their other classes, there are ways to be creative. And so I always talk to the students about how just because you're not going to major in art doesn't mean that art is not important for you. Because learning critical thinking, learning problem solving, learning to critique, what we're going to talk about today, you can carry those skills into your math class, into your science class. And somebody who can think about something in more than one way and can come about, you know, solving a problem in a different way than their next door neighbor is going to be, you know, somebody that's going to do better in school. And so much of school is this, what's the right answer? What's the wrong answer? And I get kids all the time that come in, okay, tell me what I need to do to get an A on this project. And I'm like, I don't really know. You what you need to do until I see you doing it. And so there's not just this formula of this is how we do it. And so coming from, you know, starting this program, we worked through a lot of things. We've been blessed at Covenant to grow, and we added another teacher. And so we have three teachers that teach art at one school, which is a pretty great thing. We had our kids in different competitions that we didn't really love. So a couple of years ago, we co-created between the three of us an art competition that we hoped would celebrate kids creating art and not limit them with so many rules. And so we created an art competition that we call TGB, Truth, Goodness, and Beauty. We started it 2 years ago, and we just really encourage our students to create and make art. And if you want any more information about art competitions, I'd be happy to talk to you more at a different time. But what I want to talk to you today about for the bulk of the time is how do you get kids to go from the early stages when they're, you know, they're little and they just love to make art into something where they're going to critique themselves, they're going to improve, they're going to study, they're going to look at each other's work, and they're going to talk about it. So, why should you critique? You need to critique with students because you want to engage students in the art of critique to help them grow creatively and technically. If you never talk about what you're doing or why you're doing it, you're not going to improve on that. And that was something that I learned in the very beginning was if I just gave them a project, they did it. At the end, we might have a critique, but the way I early on structured my critiques was just to say, oh, I wish that I would have done this. And go, oh, well, you know, maybe next time you'll try that. And then we moved on to the next project. At the end, it was like, oh, you know, I don't really understand that part of your piece. And then we would move on. And so one of the things that I shifted a few years ago was trying to make sure that I had more in-progress critiques, more time where you're working on this, and we're going to take a look at it, and we're going to talk about it. What's working? What's not working? What are you struggling with? What do you need to improve on? What can you learn from each other? And then giving them the time to go back and make those changes, make those corrections, because sometimes you look at it and go, oh, if I would have added, you know, this color in this area, it would make that pop out. We'll go back and do that. And that process of giving them time to talk about it and the time to go back and work on it is really, really important. I also really love that it helps your students create their own artistic voice. When they're really little, sometimes they're just following along with what you're doing, or they're just kind of playing with art and they're experiencing it, and it's wonderful, but learning how to make your own choices. One of the things, the teacher that I kind of followed at Covenant had taught them some really great stuff, but they didn't really completely understand how to make those choices on their own. So one of the things that's really important is trying to learn how to get kids to make their own choices later on. So I start teaching in the sixth grade with students, and at that age, they still need some guidance and some direction, and let's try this, and here are some options. But my favorite thing is getting to see those sixth graders in a few years when they are my seniors sitting in AP Art and saying, okay, what are you going to do this year? And they go, are you going to tell me? Nope, not going to tell you. You have to come up with a series. You have to come up with an idea. And then asking, you know, what direction do you want to go? Do you want to draw? Do you want to paint? Do you want to sculpt? And then them being able to say, oh, I really like to draw. Okay, what do you like to draw? And so when you're critiquing them and when you're talking to them, you have to ask so many questions. And I have a lot of questions throughout my presentation, but there is not just one question that you, or one set of questions that if you ask these five questions, every kid will know what they're doing. You just have to ask a lot, and you have to kind of gauge where they're at and what question you're going to, you know, ask that student. And so as you're thinking about these question strategies, you're talking to them about what's going well for you, where can you really excel, but then also looking at, okay, what's a weakness of yours? What's, you know, oh, I didn't think in seventh grade I was very good at the pottery wheels. Maybe I should never try that again. Saying, you know, is there a way that you can try that a little more? Do you need one more shot at something? And so just encouraging them to look at themselves and process what they're doing. You've got to give them time to articulate how they feel about their art. And that was something that was really difficult for me because I love art. I see art. It's natural for me just to look at something and know how I would draw it or how I would create it. Or I can look at it and go pretty quickly know what's wrong with it, what I need to do. And kids need time. something I've heard a lot of in a lot of conversations with classes. You've got to give them time to think and to process and to create. And that means that sometimes you have to slow down and you have to give them more time than you would even think. I mean, sometimes I'll do a demo at the beginning of class and it takes me 10 minutes to do the whole process. And then I think, okay, I'm going to give them 40 minutes. They're going to get everything done. Because if I can do it in 10, surely they can do it in 40. And then 3 days later, they're still working. And you just, it's really hard to not get frustrated and to push them along. But you've got to give them time. So you have to give them time to think about their work. You have to give them time to talk about it. And sometimes that's hard. And I know when I was a newer teacher, I rushed through a lot of stuff. I mean, I made my whole syllabus for the year. I had all these great projects and all these things that we were going to accomplish. And then I would get frustrated if we would get behind schedule or we, you know. And so one of the things that we kind of shifted a few years ago in our curriculum was more is not always better. And so I tried to find ways to think of what, you know, if I'm going to teach them this aspect of painting and this aspect of painting, and I used to do it in two projects, could I do both of them in one project? And instead of having five projects a quarter, maybe we only have two. And maybe we don't have as many different things, but they work really hard on those things. And they've got a couple of weeks to create it, and then they have time to look at it and assess and critique and talk about it. And then they have time to go back and still do a little more to it. That was a big shift in when I was giving them that time and not just like, well, you know, next year when you do another painting, you can remember these things that you wish you would have done. So that's something that's been really influential, is giving them time to do that. And that takes a lot longer than an adult who, I mean, I sit in the art room all day long, every day, creating art. It's second nature to me. For some of these kids, if they need time. And then another thing that's really important is encouraging students to constructively critique each other and push each other, but not in a way that's mean. I think the hardest part when you start critiques with kids is they either go, oh, I love it, look, it's so pretty. I'm like, okay, any more than that. And they don't want to offend each other, so all they're going to do is, oh, it's so great, it's beautiful, I like it. And so I always tell my students, you cannot say, I like it, it's pretty, it's wonderful, it's perfect. Like, you can't just only give this, you know, cookie cutter answer. You have to really explain to me why you like it. And if you don't like it or you don't understand it, it's okay. And you can talk about that. You can't be mean. You can't say, oh, that's the worst thing I've ever seen. But you can't just only talk about the positives. And that was hard for me because as somebody, I want to encourage them, and so trying to find a way to constructively critique them so that they grow without making them feel bad about their work. And one of the things I noticed, especially this year, some of my seniors that I've had for years and years, their work was very, very personal and deep, and they are showing this, you know, their skill, but this emotion and this thing that, you know, they love. And you've got to be careful that you don't, you know, push that down and, you know, make them not want to show you what is inside their soul. But you have this amazing opportunity to help them with that. And I've got some examples of some of my students' work, and I'm going to talk about them a little bit later of how I talked through some of this stuff with some of my students. One of my favorite quotes that I have brought into my classroom and talked with my, especially my upper level, you know, juniors and seniors, is from Degas, and it says, art is not what you see, but what you make others see. And I spend a lot of time talking to students about sometimes there's art that you make for you, and it's the process, and it might be the experiment, and it might be the process of actually painting. A lot of, you know, expressionist work, but actual, like, painting is therapeutic. And maybe in the end, somebody looks at it and they like it or they don't like it. They understand it or they don't understand it. But that process was really important for you. I remember when I was in college, my sister went through a really difficult time. And it was really hard on my parents and me and trying to balance that. And I was in the middle of a painting class, and there were times where I just painted. And it was so therapeutic for me. And I have a couple of paintings that I did that are about my sister, but they're very abstract people look at them and they're like, oh, that's cool, or they don't even like it at all, and they have no idea the thought process of them. So sometimes you do it for you. And I tell the kids, that's okay, that sometimes you're going to do it for you. But sometimes you want to say something, and you want people to get that from you. And so there has to be this assessment of, after I've done this, and I'm trying to portray this emotion, you have to look at it and go, did I do that? And the only way to do that is to ask other people and to hear from other people. And so when we critique at school, we have lots of different ways of doing that, which we'll get to in a minute. But I talk to the kids about, you've got to think about what you're doing, and is it for you, just for you, or are you trying to say something to the population? One of the things that's my favorite thing that we've done at Covenant is we have a gallery night at the very end of the school year in April, when it's absolutely crazy and we're absolutely exhausted. We do this amazing thing where we fill the whole entire gym for a whole week with every student has some of their art. They don't have all of their art, but they pick their best art, and we just have rows and display shelf panels and easels, and there's art everywhere. And it's a little nerve-wracking as art teachers, because it's sitting out there for multiple days, and we're just really afraid that a seventh grader is going to sit in their backpack and break a piece of pottery. But we put up signs everywhere, and we kind of hover for those few days. But getting to know that your stuff's going to be out for people to see really pushes the kids, and it's so great to like see it all out, and it's a really amazing. So if you don't have something like that at your school, I'd be happy to also talk to you, or if you ever want to email me and ask more about displaying art. We have displays throughout the year where we hang stuff in the hall and we put some stuff in some display cases, but I don't know about your school, but we never have enough display space for all of the amazing art. And so you just don't get to see it all. And so then at the end of the year, to see all of it. And like my seniors get to have either a whole table for their three-dimensional stuff or a whole panel to display their stuff, and so you get to see the series of work that has taken them their whole year all together, and you get to see the big picture, and it's really, really great. And then the people get to come around. We invite everybody out one evening, and they get to come tour and look at it. Some of our younger grades walk through and with their teachers and get to look at their art. We also had a lot of teachers who will bring their kids and ask them to walk around and pick a piece, and you know, make some comments, write some notes to the artist, and give them feedback. And that's another place where that they can critique. And I'll have my students come out and say, all right, you're an eighth grader, so you know what we've done in eighth grade all year. But what I want you to do is look at what the 11th graders are doing, and look at what the 10th graders are doing, and what can you learn from these students, and what do you want to do in 2 or 3 years in your art? And that's a really great thing. One other thing that I've been thinking about recently a lot is when you ask a kid to create something, there's this process that they have to go through, and they might not know how to do it all on their own. So when you're creating something, you have to know your inspiration, and sometimes the kids don't have a clear picture of that. So sometimes you have to kind of start them down that path. And so a lot of what I do in my projects are very open-ended, where I'm going to start with some inspiration. I'm going to pick an artist, I'm going to pick a time period, I'm going to pick a kind of project, and I'm going to give them, here's, you know, a starting point, and I'm going to give them some guidelines, but then I want to give them some freedom, and so then I want to give them time to kind of plan and design what they're going to do. So we're going to be inspired by this, then we're going to plan out what we think we want to do, and what we think we want to say in our art. And then we're going to create something. And so you have to have time to create. And that's the hardest part. And I think sometimes we always get like the administrator that wants to come in and observe on the day that you're just like everybody's working. And you always have to tell them, you know, I promise, like, we're doing something, I'm doing something, but I don't lecture every day. This today, for me to talk this long, is very unusual. I usually talk for a little bit with the kids, and then we work, and I go around, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit, and I'm going to push you a little farther, but I'm not going to sit here and talk to you for an hour, and then have you go do everything, and then be done with something. And so it's really hard to give them enough time to critique, and not think, I mean, when I first started there, they didn't have any written curriculum, but we were going to be accredited, so they wanted this written curriculum, and they asked me for my syllabus, and they gave me an example of a history English syllabus. and the math syllabus. Oh. And so I'm sitting there looking at these documents that are like, day one, read chapter one, talk about this, this, and this. Day two, read chapter two, talk about this, this, and this. Math, it was like, do, you know, these 10 problems, these 15 problems, quiz day. And I kept looking at it, and I kept trying to structure my art syllabus on a day-to-day basis, and it was so frustrating. And when I finally was like, I'm just not going to do that. This is not how it works. And so I changed mine to just a week by week, and I put week one, week two, week three, and I would just sit down and go, okay, I think we're going to do a painting. I think it's going to take 4 weeks. In the beginning, you know, the first week, we're going to talk about the process. We're going to try some stuff. And then I just kind of broke it down, and we never followed it words, you know, day by day, even week by week. I mean, this year I did a painting project that I thought was going to take 4 weeks, and it took 7. But it was amazing, and I just didn't want to stop them. And I just kept letting them go, and I just chopped something out and was like, we're just not going to do that. I'm going to keep going on this. And that's a little bit hard for somebody that wants to have every day worked out. But it's also easier when you have like an unexpected snow day and you're like, oh, well, you know, we have 4 days this week, but now we're only 3, but I have to change my stuff. We'll just, you know, look at it by the week. All right. Okay, let's talk about different ways that we critique. I'm going to kind of talk you through some of the different things that I've done over the years with my students that have been effective. So I have found that self-evaluation is really important. And so one of the things that sometimes I do is give the kids like a handout that asks them questions about their art. Answer this question, answer this question. And then sometimes we have them write an artist statement. So you're going to finish this project and you're going to write a statement about it. You're going to explain to me what you did, why you did it, how you did it. You can talk about anything in that statement. And those are some of my favorites because you get to see their heart and soul come out in here. One of the projects that I did, or that I honestly do a lot of different projects every year. I get bored with the same thing, so a lot of times I'll change what we're going to do. But one of the projects that I've done multiple years, because it's been so great, is the very first painting project that I have. We have a two-dimensional design class and a three-dimensional design class in our upper-level classes, and then we have AP art. So they all take intro, and then they divide. It can do two-dimensional or three-dimensional, and then they come back for AP. And so in my two-dimensional class, it's mostly painting and drawing, but the first painting that I always do with them is, and sometimes I change it here and there, but I have them pick, well, first we brainstorm a lot of different opposite words. And so we talk about just what things are opposite. So day and night, dark and light, fire and ice, order and chaos. And we just make a list on the board, all these opposites. And then I have them choose a pair of opposites, and I give them two canvases, and sometimes they're long and skinny, and sometimes they're two squares, and sometimes, I mean, they're all different sizes, whatever we have that year. But I give them two canvases, and I say, okay, on one canvas, you're going to paint one of those opposites, and on the other canvas, you're going to paint the other opposite. And you can use any supplies except the paintbrush. So I'm like, you're not allowed to use the paintbrush. I don't want this to be the you know, traditional painting. And it cannot be a picture of something. I just want you to portray this in brush strokes, in color, in texture. And so one that was really effective was Order and Chaos. And so this one painting had these, you know, painted sections. And they paint with feathers and Q-tips and their fingers. One girl, 1 year, brought in a fly swatter. She put paint on it and hit the canvas. Somebody brought in a turkey baster, watered down the paint, splattered it on there. So lots of different unconventional things. And I have some stuff in my room, sponges and things, and then I encourage them to bring one thing from home that they come up with. And so the order painting she did was so organized, and then the chaos was just all of that, however she wanted on the other one. But when you look at that without an artist statement, you really don't have any idea what she was going for. And so a lot of people would look at those paintings and not get it unless you had this written statement. And so if you can have them write down what they were doing and why they were doing it, then other people look at it and go, oh my goodness, that's really interesting. I peer critiques where we have a whole big group. We're going to make everybody sit down. It's a critique day. And you're going to take turns. You're going to stand up. You're going to hold up your art. Sometimes I have them talk about it. And then everybody comments. Sometimes we say, okay, you're not going to say anything. You're only going to hear from your peers. So they'll hold it up and, you know, other people can make comments. Sometimes we'll trade. Everybody rotate to the left. Then you have somebody else's work. Okay, look at it, think about it, and then find some things that you want to talk about, and then we go around and talk about the other person's work. With teacher critiques, a lot of times I do those individually. I'll sit down next to somebody, talk to them about what I see, fill out a rubric at the end, make comments, and give them actual, like, one-on-one teacher critiques. And then we do a lot of stuff with large group, and then this year I did some small group stuff that I've never really done before, and I really loved it, so I wanted to kind of talk to you guys about it. I had 13 seniors take AP Art this year out of about 50 graduates, so that was a pretty big number of students who were taking a class they didn't have to take, because it's totally optional. But because of that, they have all these other choices in their math and science, and so nobody had a schedule that allowed for me to see all of them in one period. So my school head came to me and was like, all right, I can get some of them in this period and some of them in that period, and this girl's going to have to come when you're teaching this other class, but there's just no way around it. And it was difficult, but I wanted them to all still do art. So I was like, I will make it work. We will work through this. But the hardest part was, yes, they had studio time to make their pieces, but they were missing that critique. So about the, you know, into the first quarter, I was like, I never see them all together, and they never get to talk about their work with each other, and that's the best part of senior art, is getting to talk to each other and see what each other's doing. And so I worked with all their other teachers, and we kind of worked with the schedule, and I got to where, okay, on one day, they're all going to come together. And so we did, I think we only got to do two for the whole year, but two full critique days. So the first day, I had all 13 of them in the room, and I'm like, okay, we're going to go around and you're going to talk about your work. We didn't have time because there were 13 of them. So we talked really well about the first couple, and then I started noticing time was going fast. I'm like, okay, well, faster, 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 faster. And some of the last ones just only got a minute or two. And so what I did with this small group that worked so great, and I wish that I could have done more, and hopefully this year I won't have so many periods that I have seniors coming, but I divided them into groups of three or four. And I made a sheet that had their names, and so they had, you know, three sections, and each of them had their name, and then I just put a couple of basic questions, you know, what is going well in your work, what do you not understand, and so then I said, okay, the three of you sit down, you get in your little group, and then you talk about what's going on with your pieces, and I tried to put, like, a ceramic student, a painting student, and a photography student, and it was really great, because, like, the photography kids are like, I do not understand how you make that out of, you know, a chunk of clay. And the clay student was like, I do not understand how you can paint. But they were able to talk through it. And so then at the end, they gave me their critique sheets. And I made copies and then gave them back. So everybody had copies of what everybody said about each other's work. And so they wrote them down, and then we were able to trade. And then I was able to read through them. And I walked around and could hear bits and pieces. And I wish that I could have heard everything everybody said, but they really ran with it. And the coolest part about kids, once you've got to where you critique multiple years, the first years it's just very basic and you really have to push and try to get them to answer questions. But my seniors this year, they pushed each other and they critiqued each other. And I didn't even have to say we need to have a critique day for, you know, one of them to be walking by somebody and go, oh, is that what you're working on? That I don't understand that. What is, you know, is that supposed to fit in your series? And they go, well, I'm trying something new. And they would just sit down and go, oh, well, I don't see the connection. But maybe if you added this, because remember all of your other pieces have a black background and this one has a green background, so it's not going to stand out. And they're like, oh, maybe I should change that. And they critiqued each other and they pushed each other. And so these kind of small group critiques probably wouldn't work as well with, you know, sixth grade group as much as these older groups that they've talked through, and you've had critiques where they've had to say things. And I started in the early years, I mean, I would give them a list of words. I'm like, these are art terms, and when you say a comment, it has to have one of these. You cannot just say it's pretty. You have to talk about the balance. You have to talk about unity. You have to talk about the colors and how they, you know, create this emotion. And so, and it's funny because they'll start with, well, you know, I love the rhythm. Okay, where is their rhythm and repetition? You know, like in there. And so it takes them a while to learn how to use those words appropriately and to actually know what they're talking about instead of just grabbing a word. But it's really great when you get, you know, those 10th and 11th graders that get really, really into it. And I've even noticed our history English teachers spend a lot of time talking about art in their courses. And so they'll have paintings up and they'll show artwork. And they'll come back to me and go, oh my goodness, they were talking about this and they got so into it. And so there's a lot of cross-curricular things that can happen the more you learn to talk about your art and you explain what you're doing. All right, so here are some questions that I've thought of. I tried to make some of them broad so you're not, you know, okay, on this project I can only ask these questions. But just what's the purpose of the assignment? What did you learn in the process? This year, I have a hard time having enough time to critique with our 7th and 8th graders because they only come twice a week. And it's the last period of the day, which is also when they get pulled out for athletics. And so there's so many times where they're like, you just don't see them enough. And so some of the times we wouldn't have time to all critique together. So as they would be finishing projects, I just pull them up to my desk and ask them some questions. But one of the things is, you know, what did you learn? What went well? What didn't go well? We talk a lot about the elements and principles. Sometimes in 7th and 8th grade, I'll tell them, after you finish your project, what I want you to do is flip it over and on the back or on the edge of the mat or where, you know, or on a separate sheet of paper, I want you to list two elements of art and two principles of art and why you chose them, how they're working in your piece, just to get them to start thinking about it. So it might be a really simple, like, I don't have time to spend a whole class period on a critique, but I have enough time to give them, you know, this short little snippet so that they get that check time. Just give it 4 minutes. And then, you know, what's the focus of the piece? What makes it clear? What makes it stand out? What doesn't work? And so just going through with them. And so sometimes it's a big question that everybody can answer, and then sometimes it's an individual, like, okay, I see you're struggling with this. How can I help you? What are you doing? What are you not doing? And a lot of times, I had a student who was very opinionated about her art, and she just graduated this year, and she did a great job with her senior project, but I remember in, I think it was 10th grade art, we were doing a project, and she didn't want to do it the way I told them to do it, and she just told me, I don't want to do it that way, I want to do it a different way, and I'm like, well, you know, I really think that the way that I have laid this out is a good, you know, it's a good direction for you to go in, and she just, I mean, every turn, no, I'm not going to do it that way, I'm going to do it a different way. Finally, I was like, okay, if you're going to do it a different way, you better do it well, it better turn out good. And then it wasn't turning out good, and she finally came back to me, she's like, you know, I think you were right that I couldn't do it that way. And I was like, well, yeah. But it was a really great lesson for her. So even when it did not turn out good at all, she learned something in that process. And if I just would have said, nope, I know it's not going to work, you can't do that, I don't think she would have learned the same lesson that she learned in this. All right, I'm going to go through, just have a few more student work that I want to show you guys. These are a couple of pieces from one of my seniors a few years ago, and she was somebody that, and students go about creating differently, and so I want to show you, kind of talk you through three seniors that did things a little bit differently. She was very talented, and art came naturally to her, and she loved to draw, and we got to senior year, and she knew she wanted to draw people, but she didn't really know what she wanted to do with that, and she didn't really have meaning. And we talk about how, you know, not every AP art portfolio needs meaning, but sometimes if you don't have any meaning or you don't have any, I mean, the AP board is just going to look at it and go, eh, you know, like you've got to think through what's your process, what's important. And so she was just drawing people, and she kind of happened into this style of, she drew with a pen, just a ballpoint pen, and then she was kind of painting and splattering and loosely drawing stuff. And And everybody in the group started going, oh, those are really cool. I really like them. They're really beautiful. They're eye-catching. And so I forget exactly how it happened, but at some point she kind of realized that certain ones portrayed some emotion or some quality that she wanted to do. So in the end, what she did was she had all of these pieces that embodied different aspects of Christians and people. And she had, you have to have 12 pieces in a series. She had 11 different people, and she titled them all with some quality of humanity. And they all were in different colors and different, some were male, some were female. Then the last piece she did was, and they were all one color, like each one had kind of one dominant color. And then the final piece she did, I don't have a picture of it by itself, and I really wish that I did, but she drew a picture of Jesus, and then it was in all of the different colors. And so she talked about how each individual person has different aspects, and then they all come together in Jesus. And it was really great, but it was a long process of figuring out, like, well, I just like to draw people, and then trying to figure out how can I pull that all together. And so she struggled with, what exactly do I want to say? And in the end, it turned out really great, but it was this long discussion all year long. And a lot of it came from her peers saying, oh, you need to do this. Because she kind of had a different idea, and she had done a couple of pieces, and it was okay, but it wasn't just really standing out. And so her peers really led her into a really beautiful finishing piece. All right, this student... her title was Uncomfortably Beautiful, and she went through a lot of personal things over the last few years that she really struggled with, and she struggled with them in private for a really long time, and then eventually she realized that, you know, she needed Jesus, and she needed to confess some of these things to people, and she actually spoke in our chapel to our whole entire high school about some of the things that she had been struggling with and some of the ways in which she was hiding her true identity from people. And so she knew from the very beginning of the year that she wanted to talk about the beauty of vulnerability and of showing people that it doesn't have to be, you know, this happy, pretty thing. Like, sometimes a hard, difficult thing can be beautiful. Because we talk about with students what's true, good, and beautiful, and sometimes you think, you know, that's only beautiful if it's this pretty flower or something. And so she really wanted to show people that there's beauty in pain and struggle and suffering, and then exposing that. And so one of the things that she had a hard time with, though, was deciding what medium to do. She loves to paint. She loves to photograph. She loves to draw. She loves it all. And so a lot of her work, she knew what she wanted to say, but she couldn't pick how she wanted to say it. And so in the end, some of her pieces seemed a little disjointed. And so she did three or four photographs that were all very beautiful. And then she did some paintings. But when you kind of looked at them all together, it was a little harder to kind of pull them together. But in the end, she was like, I did this for me. I'm going to send it to the AP board. If they don't think it's cohesive, it's okay. She grew in that process. But she had a very, very clear understanding of what she wanted to do, and then she was just trying all these different mediums to try to figure out how she wanted to say it. And there was lots and lots of conversation with the students, and it was really interesting because her peers would look at some of her pieces that she was kind of like, yeah, I liked that piece, but I don't love it, and she loved this piece, and they're like, no, it's really that one that stands out. And so the picture of the hands was kind of this, she just had one of her friends, and they went into the dark art closet, and she just took some pictures of her hands, because she thought that that would be cool. And everybody was just like, this is beautiful, like, this is a really powerful piece. And she was like, well, it's just hands. And so talking through it, we ended up, you know, realizing that she had a really great piece, but it was not exactly what she thought. And she loved the painting that she spent months on. And this was her first oil painting, and she worked so hard on it, and everybody liked it, but they didn't really like it. But so it was a really good process for her to hear from other people and to see what other people were thinking. And sometimes you don't want to do the same, and you have to learn that that's okay, and I have to be able, if I'm not going to change what I'm doing or I don't want to take their advice, I have to kind of have my own reason, and then that's okay too. And so it was really great to watch her struggle with this personal thing, but then portraying it to the public, and then the public saying, seeing things that were different in her work, and her thinking through all of that. And so that was really great. Here is another one of my seniors from this year. And she was another one that, she loves to draw people, and she loves chalk pastels. And I do not love chalk pastels, and I do not share the joy of chalk pastels because they're so messy. And I don't know how somebody can take a chunk of chalk and make this, but she can. And she spent all year, that's all she did was chalk pastel. But she started too with, I want to draw people, and she drew the girl in the water. And, and she's somebody that she would sit in my class for the whole 50 minutes and just kind of doodle and sketch and not really like it. And they crumple it up and toss it. And she got so behind because it had to be perfect. It wasn't perfect. Well, I'll just start over. And she kept telling me, Hamilton, I can't think in 45 minutes. I need 4 hours. I'm like, we don't have 4 hours. And so she's like, well, I'll just do it on Saturday. I'll just spend my whole Saturday morning doing this. Okay, but we've given you this time, so if this doesn't happen in this time and you're doing it outside, don't call and tell your mom that Mrs. Kevington made me do 4 hours of art and I don't have time to do my other stuff. And so we struggled with this, but she would hardly get anything done, and then she would come in the next week and just bring me a piece. I'm like, I don't even know how you made chunks of chalk do this. But once she kind of got started, she knew she wanted to draw people, she knew she wanted to draw women, and then she started looking at them, and she came in with this idea that she wanted to do all the days of creation. And so these are just a few of them, and you can see the references underneath, but she wanted to portray a human that God created, but as light and dark, and as moon and stars, and they were all beautiful. And her very first piece that she ended up doing was God's hand, and it's just this blank page with God's hand reaching down to begin creation, and then she had each one of the creation, because you have to have more than 7 pieces in your portfolio. So she had beginning creation, all the days of creation, and then she did the fall of man, and so the end is holding an apple and it's dripping. And it was really, really powerful, and so many people were it was very, very powerful to see it all together. It was a struggle all year long to get her to finish them all, and she literally did 4 pieces in about a week and a half because she was behind. But that's part of teaching them to become independent thinkers. And all year long, I tell those seniors, we're starting at the beginning of the year, and if you do a project every 2 weeks, you will have time to finish your 24 pieces in your series by the end of the year. If you do not do it in 2 weeks, then you're going to have to do some faster things or some, you're going to have to spend spring break making 5 paintings. And we continually I try to keep them accountable to their timeline, but there's just some of them that work better under pressure, I guess. And, she came in and she's like, why are you even worried? Did you think I wasn't gonna finish? I'm like, just a little bit. But she worked through, and they're very beautiful, and the colors, worked really well together, and she just wanted to portray all that. But it was a long process of talking through stuff with her and encouraging her to, continue on. All right, I don't know if this video is going to work out. I'm going to try it in a minute. I did something new. I also teach a graphic design and photography class called commercial design. We talk about making art for advertising purposes or, selling things. And so I know a lot about Photoshop and Illustrator, and I knew some stuff about photography, and so, those were kind of areas that I was comfortable in. And I had students this year who loved all of that, but they're like, do you really want to do animation? I'm like, I have no clue how to do animation. And they're like, but we really want to do animation. And I was like, well, I will look into animation because we have a full Adobe Suite, so I know we have some animation programs, but I don't know how to use them. And so I'm going to look at it over Christmas break. So over Christmas break, I sat there and watched YouTube videos, and I played with it, and I came back, and I told the kids, I know about 4 hours worth of animation knowledge that I learned, and I'm going to, see what we can do. And so I kind of had this little project where they were going to make a monster's face, and I told them, you need to have the eyes and the mouth, and the mouth can open and close, and the eye can move. And that's like as far as I really got. So I had this very basic, you know, geometric shapes, and the eye was going to go across, and the mouth was going to open and close. And I'm like, this is my example. And most of the kids did exactly what I did. You know, they had a mouth that opened and closed, and they had an eye that moved, and that was the only thing. This boy, though, really took it to the next level. So hopefully, let me see if I can get it.
Well, it doesn't look like... doesn't look like it has the link to play. I should have looked at that before. Well,
he made it where, let me just pull out my computer. They made us turn everything into their computers so that they could put them up on the screen. He made it where the eye opens, or like the lid opens and closes, but the eyeball moves, the mouth opens and closes, but then his hand moves and it turns the light off. And it makes it go black. And it was the coolest thing. And he went really above and beyond. But these were the, when I had them critique themselves, I had a page and I said, tell me about composition, creativity, craftsmanship, and I listed all of those things. And they had to write down, you know, what elements did I use? What principles did I use? How did I make this work? And then they, had to talk about what was the strongest part of your video, the hardest part in the process, what was one thing that you would change, and then we also talked about what did you learn from other people. And so this was a student that they really learned a lot. And so he got the eye movement and the mouth movement and then the light going off. And so he was so excited and so proud of the light coming off. And we were all like, how did you make that work? Because just building all the different shapes. And he just got so into it and was so excited about it. And he just kept going. And then he made like four more animations in the time that everybody made one. I mean, everybody's sitting there slowly. Because you have to make every shape. And then you have to make every frame. Okay, at second one, it's going to be here. At second two, it's going to be here. And so most of them, I mean, it was this slow process, and for him it just like clicked, and he made all these different things and we got so excited about it, and it was really great. And but the coolest part was when we had our critique day, all the kids are looking and they are all like, that is being graded next to mine. I'm like, I'm not basing them on other people. But he got so into it, and so then he started showing other kids, and we worked on animation forever, and they learned way more than I even knew. I mean, they kept coming, well, how do you do this? I'm like, I have no idea, but let's try it out. And it was the coolest thing for them. But just giving them time to talk about it and explain to each other. A lot of times, this boy in particular would go and teach all the other kids in the room. He would go, oh, you don't know how to do this? I don't know how to do it. And he would sit down with them and explain it. And it was just a really great experience for all of them. All right. So then let's talk about, here are some more questions that I've kind of asked kids and thought through when we're doing projects. How does knowing and using the visual art vocabulary help you understand your project? And then something that classical schools really like to do and that has been really great is, how does knowing the context and the history and the traditions of art forms help us create works of art? When I was in high school, I did not go to a classical school, and I was at this public high school, and every teacher and every subject was its own thing, and you went to math class and you did math, and you went to science class and you did science, and you never, you know, did anything that was cross-curricular. And so I hated history because it was so hard to just memorize all of those things, and they felt so irrelevant until I got to college and I took an art history class. And all of a sudden, they're talking about art, which I loved, and they were talking about how this piece of art was made during World War I. And that's why, you know, the world was in this awful place, and that's why it looks sad and depressing. And this piece was made during, and all of a sudden, I could make connections, and it was the most interesting thing to me. And I did a study abroad and went to Oxford, and we took an art history class where, like, we sat in front of that painting and we talked about it, and it was really great. And now I go back and I'm like, I wish I could take history again but connect it with art. And so it's these things in connections and that you can talk to the other teachers and work with stuff. One of the really great things at our school is we'll have conversations with, you know, I'll talk to the 10th grade history English teacher and go, what are you working on? And he goes, oh, I'm doing this. And I'm like, oh, I could totally do that in my art class. And, you know, we don't do everything where every project coincides with everything else that we're doing, but there are a lot of times where we can make these connections and we can say, okay, the 9th graders are doing this. How can I support what you're already talking about? And it's so interesting when the kids come in and they go, my history teacher told me the same exact thing. And I'm like, it's a coincidence. Like, there's no reason why, you know, I had a conversation with them and we talked through this. And one of my favorite times that we got to do this was a couple of years ago. It wasn't this last year, it was the year before that. Monet was here in Fort Worth. And we took all of the 11th graders to see Monet, and their history English teacher was, of course, talking to them about it, explaining it, and I was talking to them about it, and the other art teachers were talking about it, and it was really great for them to just kind of make all of those connections. And in the same year, we also planned a field trip to, it sounds weird, the State Fair of Texas had an exhibit of copies of Michelangelo's Sistine Chapel. They took pictures of the whole Sistine Chapel, and they brought them to the State Fair of Texas. How that happened, I don't know. But they had this whole room set up with big prints, and they were hanging above us, and they were in front of them, and we got to walk through. And so they had been talking about Dante in the 10th grade and the judgment, and so we got to stand in front of it, and our history English teacher is standing there telling them, like, this is this guy, and this is where this is. And I mean, it was the coolest thing for them to all get to make those connections and see, you know, how art fits in with all the other things that they're doing. And so I try a lot of times to pull in something. When I taught Kandinsky with my 6th graders, we were talking about lines and shapes. So I'm like, okay, this is just the basic, like, line shape. There's different kinds. Well, I thought about, well, what kinds of, you know, things could I pull in? So I pulled in some of their math stuff. And I'm like, okay, we're going to talk about parallel lines. We're going to talk about perpendicular lines. We're going to talk about lines that intersect and geometric shapes and organic shapes. And the year that I did this, it worked so well. I had a kind of a rowdy group that just couldn't focus. And so I had this list of, I need you to have a line that's 17 inches long, and I need you to have 4 parallel lines and 6 lines that intersect at a 45-degree angle. And I mean, I just made it up, but I just made this big, long list of all of these requirements. And that made them focus. And I mean, they're sitting there, and they're like, oh my goodness, my line's 17 and a half inches. Are you going to count off? I'm like, better make it exact. So, but I'm like, there's no way I'm going to go back and actually measure them. But it was the coolest thing for the kids to, like, really focus and think through. And they were talking about, perpendicular versus parallel, and how that all interacted. And so that was a really easy way to integrate something else that they were talking about in other vocabulary. And although this year we were doing something with lines, and I was talking about a dotted line versus a dashed line, and apparently in math, the dashed lines they call dotted lines, so the kids got super confused. They're like, yeah, that's not how it is in math. I'm like, oh, I guess I should have checked that. I have no idea. But they were all making one when I said the other. But it was really good to kind of make those connections. And then one of the things that all of the art teachers at our school, we kind of talk to the kids and we say, there's rules in art and we don't want you to break them. But if you break them, you have to tell me why you're doing it. And so if you can convince me why I'm going to do this a different way and it is a really great idea, I'm going to let you do it. And it's the coolest thing because there are some kids that are just like, yeah, I'm not. Hey, I'm excited to see what happens. And sometimes it doesn't go well, but a lot of times it does, and they exceed my expectations. And I mean, we had some kids this year that I'm just looking at their work going, I don't even know how you can create that. Like, it's amazing, amazing work. And then talking about life experiences, what influences your art? And then we talk a lot at Covenant about their worldview, and so how does art influence your worldview? The senior that I had showed you that did the vulnerability and the beautiful pieces, she did her senior thesis on nudity and art. Figure difficult, controversial discussion that she talked through, but she did a really, really great job of thinking through how important that is and kind of stereotypical Christian views and, you know, more the whole, what the world is saying and how, is there even a way to kind of put those together? And she talked to me all year long about it, and you know, we had some really great conversations that came through that. And so it's another place that you can, you know, integrate what they're talking about in their other classes. And art's just a great place. I hear so many conversations. They sit around, they talk about their stuff. There are times when they're, you know, they're talking about what they're studying and what book they're reading. I'm like, only in a classical school would you hear this conversation. Yeah. And these kids so passionate about, you know, some thing that, and I didn't get that education, so a lot of it I'm like, I don't know what they're talking about, and I need you to tell me and explain it to me, and so I'm learning right along with them. But it's really great. And here's a few more just big picture questions. What subject matter do you want to explore? What's the most effective medium to portray things? I ask my seniors that a lot, because at the beginning of the year, I'm like, okay, you can make anything you want, any way you want, but is there a more effective medium to get across your point of view? If you want something that is focused on precision, maybe you shouldn't splatter paint. If you want something that is, you know, very emotional and expressive, maybe you do want to splatter paint. And so we'll talk through, okay, what do you want to say? Why do you want to say it? How do you want to do that? Is that the right way to, you know, can you get something out of chalk pastel that you want, or do you need colored pencils? And so trying to get them to see that. And then just talking about truth, goodness, and beauty, and how important that is, and God and His creation. There's a lot of times where I think through, I work really far away from where I live. We live about 45 minutes from the school. And there are times when I think, oh, it would be easier if I just worked at the school right next door that, you know, took me 5 minutes to get to. But I don't know how you teach art and not talk about God and creation and His beauty and His amazing. Like, being able to incorporate all of these things is so, so important. And so, just talking about God and all of His creation. Are we done?
Yep.
Okay, does anyone have any questions? If you want me to email you any of this stuff, or if you have additional questions about anything related to art, you've got my email in that book, let me know. And if you have any questions, I'm happy to stay and talk to you. So, I think it's lunchtime, so.